Greetings from Podcastville. It's Monday, the fucking, who knows what day it is. I know it's the last motherfucking Monday in June. The rent is due on Wednesday. Taxes are due on the 15th. And unemployment ends on the 31st. So you better pucker up, motherfuckers. The Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by my favorite CBD line. And you ready for this? This is the announcement of the fucking week. They got a new tape, a CBD tape. I tried it. I wrapped two things around my knee because I really have arthritis on the inner side of the knee. So I put two strips in there. I surrounded them with the thing, and I left them on. First of all, they activate pain. For 48 hours, they shoot CBD straight into that area. They're phenomenal. Here's the kicks, though. I have severe arthritis in my right knee. So let me tell you what it did do. I walk around with pain, but I don't want you guys to get mistaken when I say this to you. It didn't eliminate all the pain, but it got it down to a 2 instead of an 8 after 2 days of having the tape on. Everything I give you guys, I experiment on myself first before I even talk about it. But was I surprised? Fuck no. Whether it's the fucking tincture, whether it's the bath balls, whether it's the fucking gummies, raspberry, orange, strawberry, whether it's the, I mean, listen, the list goes on and on and on. Go to CBDline.com. Look at the great line of products they have. They have, if you have an ailment, they have an answer to your ailment with CBD. The tinctures put me to sleep every fucking night like a baby. And I've been living off them since before the fucking coronavirus. So do yourself a favor. Before you go buy fucking CBD oil from some swami, from salami, on some corner gas station when you get your pick six, don't waste your time. Uncle Joey's here with CBDline.com. Read everything it says on that page. Learn how CBD works. Get knowledgeable on CBD, and then you come back to me. They're talking about receptors. They're talking about a bunch of shit. But listen, you don't need to care about that right now. Go to CBDline.com. You see something you like, the bath balls, the tape, the cream, I use it as a moisturizer. My legs don't feel like fucking alligator no more. It feels like a nice thigh again. I can rub legs with my wife. So go to CBDline.com. Look at the great selection of products they have. And you be the judge. Before you buy something, go to the checkout and press in.
Church.
C-H-U-R-C-H. And get the fucking 20% delivered to your house. No mumbo jumbo. Kick this fucking muley.
Oh, shit.
There you go.
Fucking tell you, right? No more fucking excuses. This is the year of the fucking soldier. We're going in like fucking Marines. You understand me?
Welcome to church, motherfucker.
Monday, the 29th of June. I hope you're feeling better. I hope you potted your nuts. Last week was last week. This week is this week. Who gives a fuck? I got my girl Eleanor Kerrigan in studio. How are you, my love?
Hi. Good. Should I put my mask back on now that you're smoking?
Nah. We got the door open.
I've never been high, but I'll get a contact high from you, Joey.
Nobody gets a contact high here. We got everything. We got Lysol. We got fucking Ebola spray. I got the shit they spray in black people's eyeballs.
What is that?
In fucking Nigeria. This is the shit that just...
We need that from Michael Jordan. Yeah.
Black Lives Matter, fucking, you know. I'm just trying to protect myself. You know what I'm saying? It's a good day to be alive. Everybody's happy. Everybody's tip-top, too. How was Kansas? How was traveling as a Corona comic?
Now that I'm the Corona comic, I'm in that list. I'm so excited to finally make a group. Kansas City was great, but I will say I was nervous like flying only because I thought, fuck, I better get there early. They're going to take your temperature. They're going to do all this shit. They didn't do a fucking thing. No. I don't even think they checked my license. I got to be honest.
They don't give a fuck about flying now.
Do you see what Americans doing? American and United? They're not going to have any open seats.
No open seats.
No open seats. There was a guy, I had cuddled with a guy the whole way.
Oh, no.
To and from. It was insane.
Yeah, there's no open seating.
No open seating. It was nothing. They were on top of us. And then I was in the airport less than 5 minutes and almost killed somebody because this guy, there was no flight that was leaving before 5:50 a.m. No fucking flight. And he was up my ass when we were going through the thing. And I'm thinking, 6 feet, you piece of shit, right? So then I go, you know what? You go. And I had put my stuff through. I go, just go. And then he was, what do you call that? Pre-check or some shit that he'd have to go through the metal detector. So he walked around the side. And then my stuff came out first. So he picked my shit up, put it on top of somebody else's to get his.
Oh.
And I go, am I allowed to kill him? And the lady just laughed. She goes, oh, no, he didn't. And then she went over and took care of it. And I was like, Black Lives Do Matter. Get him, bitch. Get him. It was great.
How was the whole comedy experience for you? Like when you got to the club?
I was a nervous wreck, but I loved it. It was so freeing. It was so phenomenal. But like, I think we were talking about this before, about doing material, old material or whatever, like BC, not before Christ, before Corona, you know, Christ is gone. We're BC now, before Corona. And so I was like, what am I going to talk about? How are my bits going to feel? So I just, for the first 40 minutes, almost 45 the first night, I did just the shit that's been happening during Corona. And I was like,
that's what I plan
this
on
felt
doing.
Great.
That's what I plan on doing.
Yeah, it was like clearing. And I mean, of course, you know, because you're living it, like I write things down, but you don't know if they're going to work.
I'm going to open up, but who's got toilet paper left?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What was the fucking, I want to know right now.
What
well, I got 200 in here. Who went to the store and bit toilet paper? People needing machines. People fucking, they can't breathe. Yeah. And you got toilet paper.
Why does everybody...
What fucking... Who's got toilet paper? And explain yourself right now. I want somebody to get up and go, man, I still got a garage full.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking.
People's houses look like a 99-cent storefront.
I bought a truck full of toilet paper. Now I got stomach cancer. You know what I'm saying? I haven't taken a shit in 2 weeks anyway, so what am I going to do with it?
I hate you.
I got to put it on eBay. Cancerous toilet paper. Who wants it? Fuck it. It's Monday morning.
It was great, but also
around.
this new thing with the women, middle-aged white ladies losing their fucking minds all over the place.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They're calling them Karens or something. Well, my older sister's name is Karen, and she is pissed at all you motherfuckers. She wants to fight whoever came up with that shit. She's like, you call me a Karen, I will knock you the fuck out.
Now, where is this North Hollywood Trader Joe's?
Oh, the Trader
Joe's.
You know
Joe that Wild Macy's
lady?
They knocked down?
Over on Laurel Canyon.
Where
the strip
Victory.
Club was.
Yeah. I thought it was
like
Burbank.
Strip club there.
Yeah. Burbank?
If you miss your exit, we got to get off there sometimes. Like, there's nights I've been high listening to a
no.
song. Yeah, and I got to, you know. There's nights I go the other way from the Comedy Store. I don't go Laurel Canyon.
Okay.
I go the long way. It's Tuesday, so I'll stop at Joe's Pizza.
Oh,
and then I'll shoot up.
Damn, yeah.
And I'll go up to 101, and sometimes, you know.
Have you ever gone through the hills, like behind the store up like Miller Drive? Oh, I love it.
Nothing scares the shit out of me more. And people do it to me all the time. I think it's because I'm a nice guy. They come up to me and they're like, hey, Joey, do you mind dropping us off up the hill? I don't know how many waitresses have asked me, you know, when you just want to go home. You just want to go home.
And it's 30 seconds.
I know, but not you. But it's not 30
but it's not
seconds.
For him.
Thank you, Lee.
Well, no, because
it's 30 seconds for an intelligent individual, okay? When you don't do jigs all puzzles, and you know, you never were good at that game, what's that game?
Breakout? I don't know.
No,
yeah.
Shoots and ladders?
Pac-Man. When you're supposed to make a left, but you make a right.
Okay.
That's
okay,
not the
okay.
guy you want driving up
okay,
your mouth.
Okay, I get it.
Dude, one time.
I used to live up there, so it doesn't bother me.
One time he got me high, and I was at home by myself. He dropped one of our friends off from the ice house, like 2 minutes from the ice house. He called me, expecting me to know where he was, and I sent him the wrong way.
Oh, no.
He's been here for like 20 years, and I've never gotten yelled at before. I sent him like up the 210 the wrong way.
Oh, my God, 2 in the morning. All you want to do is get home. You got to pee. You got a piece of shit lingering in your ass, and you're tired. You just did 2 shows, plus you're already going to have insomnia. And all of a sudden, he tells me to go,
funny.
And it wasn't his fault.
No,
you know, number one, I should not be driving. People should know this.
Don't you have an iPhone? I mean, is this asking? I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Thank you,
Look at his face.
He's calling me on an iPhone.
Listen, if I had a tank with military instructions, I'm never going to press the button that lady comes on and says, in 2.3 miles, make a left. That's never going to happen in my world.
Why?
Right, because
that's
not.
What they make it for.
You should do it.
If she talks, then I got to talk back to her.
No, you don't.
Because I'll say things to her she's never heard before. I'm already
She can't hear you anyway.
Listen, yes, she can. They hear everything. Listen, my daughter fucks Siri up. You know Siri on the iPhone?
Yeah.
She hates my daughter. She hates Mercy.
Why?
Because Mercy torments her. Mercy just doesn't ask her, how long does it take to Nashville? Mercy will go, what if I have 1 foot
Good
and a roller
Mercy.
Skate? And then she keeps tormenting her.
You should always try to break an app.
Until Siri says, fuck you. And Mercy just sits there with her little face like, what did I do wrong? Oh, you asked the 18 questions.
She's playing 20 minutes. Questions.
So you can hear the chick go, boo, 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 and then she starts stuttering. You ever hear Sorry stutter? Like, Lee, the taxes.
I've never done that one. Oh, I've God, never yeah. talked to Siri.
She tortured Siri so bad, Siri just went off, like, bloop. And my daughter's like, Siri, come back. Who wrote this song? And you know,
Siri, come back. Siri, come back. Should be a song. Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah, I've done the Waze app or the whatever right. and gotten lost.
Waze is the worst.
Waze
takes you out 18 miles.
You've used Waze?
No, but you did one time. I almost stabbed you. We next thing you know, we're in Chicago.
They'll take you back.
We're in Chicago. We're headed to Irvine. I just 30 minutes from Chicago to go to Irvine.
Yeah, they try to take you on back roads, and then they get lost, I think.
Yeah.
I swear, I think they get lost. Because I'm like, you don't know this fucking back road. See, I used to live up on Kings Road, so behind the Comedy Store. I lived, me, Richie Taylor, the manager. We lived at 1501 Queens Road. Queens Road. Yeah, that's what it was. Not Kings. Queens. So, because they're two side by side, Queen and Kings. So we lived on Queens Road. So I was always up there. And then working for Mitzi, I was always on Crest Hill because she still had the house. She didn't sell it until early 2000s, maybe. Took a long time to sell that one. But the Crest Hill was up there. So I was always up that hill. So it's simple for me. I already know how to like navigate around it. And when I first moved there, I used to walk all the hills. So I was like, oh, this connects. Oh, you can drive through here. So if I'm all the way at Sunset Plaza, I could get to the Comedy Store through the hills.
Jesus. Last time my dad was here.
My favorite thing to do.
I got too high and I kept missing turns. Mm-hmm. But you can't really do a U-turn on those hills. I went all the way from here.
They're like this big.
Oh, it was terrifying. Took me like 45 minutes.
I'm very, very good. Hollywood, Sunset, Beverly.
You go through side streets and like alleys in Hollywood.
I know everything. If the cops chase me, I will lose you.
Right. That's my thing. That's why I'm really good at knowing where I'm going.
Years of
running.
In Hollywood. No, Hollywood just has, you know, Hollywood has traffic. Listen, we all have traffic in cities.
Traffic.
That doesn't have to happen. It's that we're all pointed at that same direction. If you do your... Okay. When I used to live with Terry, we lived on Schrader. Schrader,
right.
Off the Sunset in Selma.
Right by the Hollywood Y.
Right by the Hollywood Y. And I had two choices when I left at night. I could shoot down to Sunset, make a right, catch Highland traffic...
Catch
La Brea traffic. And then once you hit, we're talking about 2000 to 2006. Once you hit Laurel Canyon, it was bumper to bumper on a Saturday night. I still
remember
telling Marilyn Martinez and her husband, God rest their soul, to get in the middle lane. We got a spot. Just get in the middle lane and cut all through. And we ran right into a sheriff, and he gave us all tickets. And we got to the store late because between all the rock clubs, all those artsy-fartsy clubs, it was bumper to bumper. So then I figured out a way. Here's the way. Avoid all that shit. You hook and you stay on Selma. Do you hit Island? There's a light there. Hit Selma again.
Mm-hmm.
All the way till you hit like...
What's the other one?
Curson didn't have a light. The one by Coaching Horses, You go
down. It's a one way.
It's a one way.
After sunset.
You go down that way, and that takes you down to what Kennison said not to drink when you drink. Fountain.
Fountain.
And fountain would take me to the bottom of the Mexican Sweetser.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetser, you pop up, you make a left, and it was still drama between the coach house,
Standard. And the goddamn...
it was still on
Saddle Ranch, whatever the...
But I avoided 30 minutes by doing that.
Wow.
One time I had Joey, I'm not even sure why, because I know I wasn't doing stand-up, but it was me, you, Schubert, in my car. I was driving to the store, and... I was going up Sweetser from Fountain to Sunset, and I was about to make the left, and Joey's going, don't miss that fucking light, cocksucker. You miss that light, we're here for another fucking hour, cocksucker. Yeah, and you're like yelling in my ear, and I'm like gunning it on my little Toyota Tercel.
Yellow don't mean dick. Yellow means step on it, where I come from. I see a yellow, you're going.
And a little bit of red, who cares about that?
And if it's a little red, we
just
ain't...
Just screaming at me, get it through that light, cocksucker. No, I'm like, what the fuck?
There ain't no cops around. If
every day I make that when I would go to the store, I think of you.
Now, that we live in the same building, or I had a friend that lived in your building, and I would go over there.
Oh, yeah, on Martel.
Yes, Martel.
Yes.
So you lived on Martel in 98, Sunset Martel. 97. Okay. You lived there from 97.
I lived there for 12 years.
And then I lived around the corner with Josh Wolf on Vista.
A Vista.
It was
Gardner.
Martel.
I don't know why I make it Gardner a lot of the time.
Well, it was Cartel. It was Martel, Vista, Gardner.
I think it was, yeah.
Sierra Bonita.
That's it, yeah.
Curson. Mm-hmm. So you and a gay guy lived.
My roommate.
Not the roommate.
Oh, somebody else.
Some gay comic from the comedy store lived on Martel.
Oh, okay.
Josh Wolf. Lived on Vista. Ralphie lived on Gardner.
Mitch
Hedberg lived on Sierra Bonita with Nick DiPaolo.
Wow.
And Doug Stanhope lived on...
Dougie's building had a lot of people in. That was Party Personal. Central.
Right. That was Party Central in the low-rent apartment.
Right.
Because it was down the corner from...
Didn't Jody and them live in there, too?
Jody moved in 98 and all that stuff. So Stanhope lived across the street. If all Stanhope had to do was wake up, walk two blocks, cross the street, and he'd be at Coaching Horses.
Yes.
So the everybody went to Coaching Horses. That was the main thing.
Right next to Samuel French.
Right next to Samuel French. I probably gave them $150,000 to become a moron. Some people give a college $100,000 a year.
Same.
And they're still morons.
I have so many fucking
plays. So if you owe student
God
loans right
it.
Now, I do not want you to feel guilty. Because we gave a guy named Samuel French a wing to the door.
Yeah.
I do not throw
it's
away.
It's probably still open.
That's closed.
No. Coaching Horses is closed.
No.
I don't even
no,
know.
They're closed.
Samuel
just
an
agent
ago?
Books.
Within the last year?
Last two
okay,
years.
Okay, because it's not that
months.
Long.
First, the one up here closed.
I didn't know
you
the one
guys remember,
here.
There was one up here by the McDonald's across the street right there.
I went to Playhouse West
there was a
for
little,
years.
Yes, there was one right there. And there was one on Sunset. You know,
how much money acting class?
When I talked to you about me and Eleanor, we used to have a lot of conversations about acting.
I was
Eleanor
obsessed.
And me had a lot of conversations. Eleanor used to date an agent that was big time that went off the. She was engaged to him.
My first ex-fiance.
And he went off the deep ends. He was a typical agent. He was Jerry Maguire with a Colombian guy next
he
to
was,
him.
He was saying? Different than Jerry Maguire because he got fired for catering to his black clients. And then when he got fired, they all left with him. So he was like his clients were Martin Lawrence, Chris Rock, Tommy Davidson, Adele Givens. I know I'm missing somebody. Martin Lawrence, I said, right? Martin, Chris, that was his big guys. Oh, and Russell Simmons, who had this idea of like, hey, we should start a black comedy show. Def Jam. So they all were partook in all of that, every single thing. I'm trying to think of who else he had, like Ricky Harris, all those guys. Every black comic left with him, and then they became superstars, and then William Morris brought him back. I mean, he went off the deep end, but he's better and he's married and has a kid, so I'm happy for him. But I would have had 10 children with him had he kept his shit together.
This was what year? 97 when I met you, 96.
I started dating him like 94. Okay. Yeah, I met him right when I first moved. I started at 93 at the store, and then I met him. He was like coming in. He would come in with Worthy Patterson. Remember Worthy? Worthy is his best friend. Should have known. Sorry, Worthy. I should have known.
Worthy's a very good
man. I love Worthy.
Where is he?
He's great. I still talk to him every once in a while. Yeah, I will.
He's a good guy.
Because I talked to Michael Hubbard still. And
very honest.
Worthy? Yeah.
He told you. It was on his mind. He told you what he could do for you, what he couldn't do for you. And he told you when he couldn't do something for you. And you couldn't take offense at that. You'd put your head down and turn away. But then you'd go, how many people haven't been honest with me?
Right.
I used this guy's honest with me. He bought me a lunch. He bought me, when Bobby Lee tells that story about us being poor.
Yeah.
And
that's funny and you brought him up. But yeah, yeah.
Me and Bobby were no food to eat, pretty much 3 days away from homeless at the fucking Latino Laugh Festival. It was him who took us out to dinner when he found out we had no money.
Nothing. Yeah. Worthy's a good guy.
A great guy.
I mean, I break his balls because I know a little too much. But he's very funny, whatever. He's very honest. But we were doing a show for Michael Hubbard for this. I'm going to slip on what the benefit was for, but it was to raise money for schools or something, inner city schools. And Worthy showed up because Hubbard is Martin's guy. He does everything for Martin for years and from all the way back with Billy. I think he's like his manager or something. So Hubbard was there. So Worthy showed up. And so we're in the back talking like it's 1994. You know, we go way back. So we're laughing and joking about something. Then Bobby Lee comes up. And Bobby was like, Worthy, if you're still mad at me, immediately turned into
it. Because he didn't sign with him.
Such a thing.
We left that Saturday from dinner. We're going to sign with you. Thanks for dinner.
Bobby did sign with him.
Did he? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was crazy.
He didn't pay. He didn't pay him or he didn't pay somebody residuals. And they had a fight over it. Not residuals, commission.
Commissions.
And I don't know if it was Worthy he didn't pay or another manager. I forget. But they immediately, Worthy was like, I don't give a shit. But they immediately went at it. He's like, you should have done it. You should. Like, it was like nothing left. They were still on that fight from the day they, but then they hugged and they were fine. It was just made me laugh so hard. But Bobby did sign with him. That's why we had a big fight with him. Because me and Freddie told him not to sign with Worthy. Sorry, Worthy. But he knows all this.
It's crazy how we were fucking kids.
Just kids.
What people don't realize. I got you in here today to cover a couple things. But I wanted people to know the state of mind. Like, we had this thing come out with the video with Rogan last week.
Right.
Made a lot of people open up their eyes. And I'm not mad at you. Like I said on the Instagram, I want women to take a stand. But it's where it's going. What I wanted to do today, since Eleanor was there from 93, was give you the state of mind of what was there. Now, something I brought up that was really, when it first came out, a lot of people ran for the hills, and it was the movie by Motley Crue.
Oh, Dirt or whatever?
Dirt, whatever.
The Dirt, right.
And if anybody knows that movie, the opening scene is a party above the whatever, and they come in and, you know, they're Motley Crue. They're just the best band on the Sunset Strip at the time. Mm-hmm. They're not even the kings of rock yet. Or maybe they are. And some chick, they sit it down in front of 30 people. She spreads her legs. Tommy Lee eats a pussy or I don't know which one.
I remember it, yeah.
And she sprays the room with fucking juice, pussy.
She was talented, and she wanted to showcase her talents. No, and I'm not mad at her for that.
You look at that as a non-member of a band, non-music band. You look at that as a normal human being, especially in these times, and you look at it and you go, what type of fucking behavior is that? Turn that off. Or who would do something like that? In my world, what people forget is I'm a fucking prude, and I'm a Catholic, and I was raised to be a prude. And I'm still very prudish. I don't do a lot of things that most
guys do. That's so funny to hear you say that, but I like it.
I'm not a Playboy guy.
Right.
I don't like porn. If there's a chick fucking on my Twitter feed, I'll watch
How
it.
Weird is that?
That she's sucking three black dicks on my Twitter feed. I gotta watch it. I don't.
Another
think
talented young lady. Don't hate. Don't
they
hate.
They do it so quick, you can't even bang one out. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
First of all, I wouldn't bang one out in the eye on a computer, because God knows who's got your eye on you when you're banging out.
Yeah, Tripoli's got all my shit covered.
Come tongue hum, everybody else, whatever his name is. But, you know, you see all these things. I'm not a porno guy. I've never been.
That makes sense. I see what you mean.
I went to a Triple X on a Sunday night, because my friends had to go, and some guy tried to, like, fucking, not touch me in the bathroom, but he said creepy things to me when I was 18. In Jersey, they had theaters that were disgusting during the week.
Mm-hmm.
They showed three movies, $2 during the week. And on Sundays, they had a Triple X bar.
Yeah.
And one night we went, it was just fucking pedophile. Like, that's what they take you on a pedophile school trip.
Yeah.
Like, when you're in a pedophile side of the prison, they take you to a Triple X show on Sundays. And these fucking dudes would be doing
everything. Oh, my God.
You could smell sperm in the air. Your feet are sticking.
Ew.
You're stepping on fetuses. This abortion doctors are there scraping up shit to sell.
As they should be.
Just creepy shit, you know. And I went to one of those, and it wasn't for me. So. But do you love pussy? Yeah, you love the idea of love. You love the idea of eating ass.
You're a hopeless romantic, Joey.
You know. So for right now, people are looking at the article they're planning on doing is looking at comedy as a whole. With the Comedy Store being the epicenter.
Cocksuckers.
And how that... No, and it's not, because for years, Kennison Stories came out of the Comedy Store. And now they're, you know, coming again with our friend Chris D'Elia was with Underage Girls, which I never saw him with. Did I see him with pussy? Like,
lots of
like
it.
You thought he was fucking running a Miss America contest.
God bless him.
But that was years I thought, like, he's just the host of the Miss America contest.
Yeah.
They're all trying to take him out to dinner to explain to him
they
why.
They walk off the stage and they go, Chris.
What do you want to do for the
cares?
World? Well, I want to start with world peace and I want to bring apples back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And I want to meet Chris D'Elia.
Yeah. So I thought Chris was just running the world.
Yeah, I didn't know they were under it. I would never think of that. No. But I was thinking.
As a joke or no joke, nobody in this table knew any idea of underage stuff. Whatever's been coming out has been coming out. It's news to us. There's no cover up. There's no nothing.
But I was thinking of this. Like, the Comedy Store is 21 and over, right?
Right.
So it's a little harder to sneak in if you're 16, 17. Right.
Especially
now. Now it's ridiculous. Now it's like Fort Knox. But before, the Laugh Factory and the Improv have always been 18 and over. Always. Because they serve food. So we didn't have food up until recently. And then I was pissed. I was like, you're not going to change the age limit, right? Because the Comedy Store is wild. And it works better as 21 and over. So what I'm saying is, like, these girls could have been sneaking it. It's easier to sneak in if it's 18 and older and you're 17. Meet Chris. And I'm not saying, like, if he did something wrong, that's terrible. But it's a lot easier at 17 to go meet a guy at a comedy club that you've been dying to meet. You know what I mean? Like, I was sneaking in clubs when I was 15 years old.
Well, even without the Chris D'Elia thing, like, it blew my mind when I moved to L.A. that people drink... Like, even regular jobs, people would go and get hammered at lunch.
Oh, yeah. My mom. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Not to make excuses for it, but this is a different town. This is the town of, when I moved here, you had open bars at Christmas parties, and people would get hammered. This is the first place I saw coke.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Where did you grow up? In a bubble?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't speak for all of Boston, but for a suburb.
Boston?
Kid,
you're gonna bring up Boston to
suburbs.
Me?
Oh. No, yeah. I was the white. I'm the poster child for white privilege. But I think there's a lot of people who didn't grow up seeing. There's some people who did.
Where, like Lexington? Where
yeah, you right. 20
That's where
minutes
my
from
ex
there.
Lived from.
But it's just like this is it's hard to judge this city based off of like normal business practices. It's apples and oranges, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've seen 1% of it. I can't imagine being there every night and having access to drugs and having all that extra or no money. Like, it's just, this is a very different place, I think.
I think, like, you might be right. I mean, I just, I grew up different. I grew up in South Philadelphia. Drugs were always around. People did them. People didn't do them. Some people did crazy things on them. Some people didn't do anything. They just existed, you know, functioning drug addicts, whatever. And like I said, I was 15. I was in nightclubs taking pictures of people. Literally, my friend hired me in her after hours nightclub to take pictures. And I was wearing like a little dress that was the size of a scrunchie. And it was like fluorescent. And I would go around taking pictures of people and charge them $10. But I was, they hired me to do that. Like, she didn't know I was that young. I was like, yeah. And then my older brother who worked with her was like, yeah, yeah, she's fine. Because I was 15 going on 35. Like, we grew up different. Wow. We, you know, I'm one of 10. My dad moved out when I was 7. So we were like wild, as my mom would call us, wild Indians. Not to be racist, but she kind of is. but in a fun way, like, she would be like, you guys are wild. Like, you know, she would try to control. How are you going to control 10 kids, 6 boys, 4 girls in South Philly? We, you know, I have friends that are doing life in prison. I have friends that have been killed by cops. I've watched cops beat people up. Like, nothing is surprising to me. Like, I'm not sure what they're going to, so when I moved to Hollywood, yeah, you see a different element, but I saw, and this is going to sound crazy, but I saw a more privileged element. Like, yeah. If people had credits, they got away with things. If people had, you know, money, they got away with things. I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
Like, it's funny that now, because of what I found out about people making calls to Seattle and Denver.
It's so crazy.
They're going to go after comedy scenes in general,
mm-hmm.
and then comedy as a whole, and where yeah. it's gone and where it's happened. And I can tell you something. You know, let's go back to July of 91. I get into comedy. I'm just happy that people accepted me. I'm doing one gig a month. I get into a contest. I win the contest. I become the house MC of this place.
This is Denver or Seattle?
This is Boulder.
Boulder, Colorado.
I started in Denver. Now I'm in Boulder. I dig this waitress. She's got a boyfriend. Nothing happens. I dig this other waitress, and we start dating, you know. So the whole year and a half, she drops a bomb on me. She's going to see it in New York to be a PR chick, and I start dating her roommate. And that went on until February of 93, okay. And then, you know, that was really my whole comedy scene at that time was The Broker, my house, and every once in a while I get to ask to do a gig on a Saturday night. I really wasn't committed to comedy.
So it was really, like...
It was just me getting my feet wet. I was learning. Just Mondays was mind-boggling. Because it was $15 for a steak.
Yeah.
And the comedy and the ticket. And people really went to get the steak. And they gave you a shrimp bowl. So you had to be funnier than the shrimp bowl. Fucking nobody is funnier than a shrimp bowl. When you haven't eaten all day and fucking... You know what I'm saying? So... It was a real adventure for me to learn these
things. I love
nobody. Okay, so when I went to New York, and in New York, you have no friends.
Right.
I did comedy for 9 months, and the only guy I knew was Mike Buschetti.
Oh, I love Mike Buschetti.
I didn't meet nobody.
They're foot soldiers out there.
Then I said, let me go to Colorado, and that's when I turned on the comedy heat. And that's when I became part, you become of cliques.
Sure.
You become part of the open mic clique, and they accept you. And then you take a chance and do a gig with a feature act, and now he invites you to that feature of clique,
mm-hmm.
where even the MC gets $15, and you get a free drink ticket, and now there's women at those shows, and
they want
to talk to you, and there's new female comics. There's new female comics in the... in the new comic.
Yeah, sure.
And then...
But we're all just around each other.
Right. Yeah. And then one day, you get to do a show, and you get to meet one of the area's biggest headliners. And he invites you to a barbecue. So now you're part of that. And that was one of the best times of my life in Boulder. When I was part of all three crews, I got to hang out with, you know, open micers on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then... Wednesdays and Thursdays, I hung out with guys that are feature acts. And then little by little, boom, Comedy Works came, and I started doing guest spots and blah, blah, blah.
What's her name? Wendy? Comedy Works?
Wendy is great. She's great. And when I started going with the features, They were the wildest. The open micers were okay, but they went home. They had day jobs.
The features got a little taste of something. That's what it was.
The features snorted coke and got together after the fucking comedy gigs.
And by the way, not all of us do that, but like...
Yeah, just the features.
If you were going to take a percentage,
these were features, MCs, guys that were going to not favorable places, but we were in the game.
Yeah.
These guys were in the game, and they had bitches hanging around, you mm-hmm. know, little girls that hung around. Some of them wanted to be comics, but I have a different message. I'm working on it. The package will be together.
It's more spoken word,
yes,
if you will.
Yes, it's more spoken word with grenades going off. You know, it's like Apocalypse Now meets fucking Luan. What's a Chinese? Wuhan? Whatever the fuck.
Mulan. Mulan. She's not Chinese, is she?
I guess.
I like it.
My daughter was giving me an ear beating about Mulan.
Mulan's great, yeah.
So, you know, you meet these girls and you snort coke with them. And when I was first in Baltimore, when I went back in 94, I just walked into nothing but trouble. Like, I walked into going to war with my ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew a guy and we were tight. And I knew his girlfriend and they were tight and they had a kid. And one night I saw her at an open mic, and she's like, I've been dying to talk to you. Me and him are done. I think it's me and you time to get together. And all of a sudden, I'm living in a hotel with her, the kid, and an ounce of coke. And, you know,
sounds like a fun day.
He would come pick up the kid. I'd leave.
Oy.
And I'd come back. And it was just 3 months. And then finally, one day he came to me. He goes, I'm trying to get back with her. Stop giving her stabbings because you're driving her crazy.
Please.
And I walked away from her. And then... You know, it was just a life of fucking mayhem.
Yeah.
That people, the general eye does not understand that it's just mayhem. Like one night we were talking at a bar and 2 hours later we're having sex with coke and shit like that. And then I didn't have any girlfriends. I swear to God.
You didn't have any friend
girls. 1995.
Interesting.
I didn't have a girlfriend. I had Eleanor who texted me every 10 days. To see if I had blow, and I go, yeah. Are you by yourself? Yeah, I am. Then come over.
I like that you said Eleanor.
Yeah,
I've never done coke in my life.
Don't be coming over here.
I'll take a stabbing from the old Diaz.
Don't be coming over here with a friend. You know if you come to my apartment.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes. And most guys do that.
Yeah. Don't be bringing people. I only got coke for two people. And as it is, I'm going to give you aspirin.
Don't bring a group. Don't bring a group, Rich.
I'm going to see how fucked up.
I get it.
You know, it's just.
I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
It was a way of life. And I had three of those. So it was any week I could get a call from one girl on a Tuesday night when I was snorting. I'm just getting back from an open mic, you know. And then what do you think happens one night? I go to this comedy. We do Tuesday nights at the Comedy Works. And we're all there. The features, the MCs, the open mics, and they close it up and we're drinking. And you have to, at that time, it was like going into a coliseum and a girl... And one of the girls is like, Joey, and she jumps at me, and I grab her, I give her a hug, we go to the bar, do we snort coke? No. Do we fuck? Do I try to fuck her? No. 3 days later, I'm getting a call from Wendy. You got banned. You grabbed her ass. I go, ask her. I didn't grab her ass. Yes, you did. Then I came to find out the manager made up a lie, and they redeemed the other, and I bumped into Wendy's at one of the festivals. And she's like, I know you're mad at me. Well, I'm not mad at you. Why would I be mad at you? You saved my life. I would have been in jail for murder.
Yeah.
Because I would have killed my ex-wife. And look what you did. You fucking threw me out. And it was the God brought me here. And
right.
Here we are. And Wendy goes, you know what? I'm lifting the ban because it was always bullshit anyway. So where there's smoke, there's fire. Do you understand me? Then you have a thing called the road. When you go on the road, if you don't believe me, don't listen to me. Pick any artist you like and read their life on the road.
Yeah, on the road.
They're going to tell you that women come and go, and I don't know why they come and go. And at that age, you're not even thinking about it. You just got lucky. You don't have to deal with them again. You weren't looking to fall in love.
Right.
And you get in your car. And then I go to Seattle. Seattle, I'm up there with a girlfriend the whole time. So there was no outside. Towards the end, I dated a little girl for a while that had a bad...
Don't say little girl, but yeah.
Bad back acne.
Oh, stop it now.
And every time I try to hug her, the acne would be
no.
bad.
No. Would it bleed?
Acne.
Oh, please.
No,
I can't.
She had those little markings You see this little tip that comes out of my stomach? What do you call those?
Oh, yeah, like a little mole. A skin tag.
She had thousands kind of them on her back.
Ooh. Joey, that's like an oaf. That's a fucking
Shrek. So I moved to
Shrek.
LA. I moved with my girlfriend. And then we Shrek. Broke up like in 97. She moved back to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out of here by myself. And my road got, my car, my apartment got towed.
Your apartment with your car.
Yeah, and I lived on Ralphie May's floor.
Mm.
And here I am at the store, you know.
Did you live with Ralphie?
I lived on this floor, and I got okay. up and took a shower at the store at 9:15.
Sure.
In the main room. And
so
then,
many homeless people take a shower in the main room.
And then I come back at 7:15 and take another shower. Chewy would say, why are you here so early? I got to look at something in the main room. I had a bag with gel.
Yeah.
Foot stuff for my foot fungus. You take a shower at the store.
You got to be careful.
You get foot fungus.
Oh. Yeah.
That shit
it
goes
comes
right,
with it. Yeah.
Oh,
do you
right
remember Mac
skin.
Lindsay? Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Oh, he was so fucking funny.
Where is he?
He's in Texas, I think, right now. Austin. But he was living in New York. And
funny kid,
funny
onto something.
So fucking
he was just
crazy,
a little deep
obsessed.
For the
I love
store.
Him.
I loved him too.
But he literally was like living out of a van in the back of the Comedy Store, and he would take a shower, but he wasn't quiet about it. Like Mac wasn't the kind of guy that would just be quiet, like whisper. So he would come out on the main room stage in a robe. This no show going on. This is daytime, and the manager would walk in. What are you doing, Dean Gelber? Bro, what are you doing? And Mac would be like, taking a shower, but he'd have a robe. Like,
it was crazy. It was crazy.
It's unbelievable.
It really was.
It was one of my favorite people in the world.
And again, I do not want to, let's just go back to the three histories. The Laugh Factory really had no history in my life. It had a history of just a club.
It's the very small, too, the Laugh Factory.
The improv's history was known for, let's be honest, as the Improv was Robin Williams, Bud Friedman, Evening at the Improv.
Sure. Why are you giving him Robin? I mean, I like it, but
let's just this
hear
is,
what you're saying.
I can't think of the guy's name right now. They had a certain... Seinfeld.
Yes, they preferred
a
working comic.
To a certain comic. But the Comedy Store, since the night I was reading the Belushi thing.
Oh, yeah.
And De Niro and Robin Williams... We're at Mario and Charlie's, up the corner where the Union became. Where did Dean Cain become the king with?
Oh, Dane Cook. The Jesus, what the hell was it called, Jay? The Dublins.
The Dublins.
My God, I'm Irish.
Before it was Dublins, it was called Mario and something.
Okay.
And there was a hangout, and mm-hmm. they also did comedy there, and De Niro and Robin Williams.
And the bungalows are right there.
De Niro. Fucknut was across the street at the bungalows, Belushi.
Belushi.
Shooting coke. And I like to say Robin and De Niro walked to the Comedy Store to see if Pryor was there.
Yes.
To walk
it's
back
true.
To do coke with Belushi in that room.
Yeah.
Pryor had left with the Pointer Sisters. And he walked over. They walked over there. And found the cocaine. Right there, as a child, my curiosity opened up.
Yeah, you're like, store. Wait, this is the legendary...
De Niro went to the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And then, you know, before I lived in Seattle, when I lived in Seattle, somebody gave me the fucking Kennison book.
Oh,
The biography by Kennison.
If you just read Wired... By, I can't remember, everybody's in it. It's all about SNL.
Right, SNL.
Wild.
Right.
Wild.
So you read all this shit.
So this isn't new to people.
And you hear this shit. For me, from what I had heard, the beatings, the Angel Salazars, the Kennisons, the girlfriends, the abortions, the Mitzi, the
you
weight
name
of it, I chose the Comedy Store. The comics I had worked with on the road. From James Stevens III to Louis C.K. to, at that time, Doug Stanhope.
Douglas.
All these guys were like, the store is waiting for you. And I'm like, really? And they're like, people would ask me two things from day one. Has Sharippa met you? And has Mitzi met you? Since day one.
Yeah.
Those are the two people. My people always ask me if I knew.
But I feel like the store, it's so big, and it was so easy to get lost in there, and there were so many dark corners, if you will.
Now, you were there in 93. What was the store in 93?
Well, when I, like I said, when I first got there, I was new. I was like, okay, what is this? You know, it was wild. And we had, they had just had the 92 riots. They had just had that Rodney King, all that nonsense was just happening. I remember my mother being like so nervous, like, there's riots. I'm like, yeah, but it's, I'm sure it's like Philadelphia. You know, what am I going to be afraid of LA? I'm from Philly. We have the same shit, whatever. So I remember going and we had Monday nights was the all black night. Eddie Griffin ran a room. Every room was all black shows, which was great. Like they were fun, but they were wild. And they were wild in that, like they would always, I remember my friend Gabrielle, somebody said to her, hey, can you bring a drink to so-and-so? And they said the name and she brought a drink and here it was a gang rival and a big brawl broke out in the OR. It was awful. And Gabrielle was just like crawling out of there. This is like this gorgeous blonde. They used to call her Susie Chapstick every single time we worked together in a black room. So whatever. But Gabrielle could hold her own. So she didn't care. But we were, they ripped the ashtray off the wall. We used to have those metal ashtrays. Remember those? Fucking wung it at her. Like it was wild. So my idea was like, okay, this is like being in the streets. Do you know what I mean? Like, fuck, there's urban shows. I just go right back to that mindset. Then there was a shootout. Then Mitzi got nervous.
Tupac was there.
Not that night.
Not that night.
Not this one. That's another shooting.
They blamed Eddie
Griffin.
There's
been a few of those.
Reputation was bad.
Yeah.
Because when I came here in 96, the guy, I came down here to audition, and I stayed in Studio City, real close to here. I still see the guy around town that I stayed with.
Wow.
He did a favor for a friend of a friend. He was a writer on Mad TV. He was very nice to me. He took me.
And he, okay.
I stayed with him, and him and his wife showed me hospitality. They took me to the Japanese Arsons.
I don't even know what that means.
Up the corner. There used to be a Japanese place where they'd sing on the table and karaoke. I don't want to work. I don't want to play on these.
I wouldn't go there.
It was like Musso and Frank's, the Japanese tours. They had a line out there.
Not Miss Sally's. I mean, that's another singing. Okay.
Right
near the store? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going.
Japanese joint in the valley. What the fuck was it? They burnt it down.
It was called Tokyo Dells.
Tokyo Dells.
Oh, wow. I never heard of that.
They took me to Tokyo Dells. Very nice. I showcased, and I still remember going. He goes, is there anything you'd want to do after your showcase? Because he drove me down to the Laugh Factory.
You showcased at the Laugh Factory?
For the Latino Laugh Festival.
Oh, okay.
In 96.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And I didn't meet anybody. It was very cold. I was like, man, this place is fucked up. And I had two connections. Real weird. I had the connection of my friend Ron hooked me up with, that took me to the Laugh Factory.
Okay.
And I drove from Seattle.
Okay, so you're by yourself.
18 hours straight.
Ooh, wow.
But then when I was at the Laugh Factory, I had excused the guy who drove me down, and he waited while I went to the deli next door. What's the deli next to the Laugh Factory?
Greenblatt's.
And spoke to a friend of mine that my Goomba in Jersey, his wife, her brother, was in like five movies.
Oh, okay.
And so I met with him, and he's like, here's the advice I got to give you. Come back, you get into this acting class. He was like us. He was just a working stiff, and he had gotten into a hot movie with John Van Claudome, whatever his name is.
John Claude Van Damme.
It was about a time machine.
How high am I?
It was about a time machine or something.
Well, it only makes sense.
He did really good in it. But just the real thing why I met him was he was Jason Bruce Lee's son's roommate for 2 years. And he had become dear friends with him.
Wow.
So I went to meet with him to talk about that. We just talked about a lot of things.
He's your kung fu guy. Yeah,
he told me all this dumb shit.
He told him you invented it?
No. Uh-huh. He told me all this dumb shit about Hollywood to avoid if I moved down here and to call him when I came down here. And years later, he called me. He goes, "What the fuck? You're doing better than I am." I go, "Yeah, thank you for taking me to lunch." Because he went dead after that movie. Then I moved down here, started putting commercials and TV shows. Right. Like, I'm watching you everywhere. What the fuck?
Isn't that weird?
I should have charged you for that talk. You know. But I went to the store, and I knew it was home. It was dark.
The land of misfit toys.
I felt something weird in there. And then we have to go back to Sundays and Mondays, where I used to host for Mitzi. They'd give me a list of the people I call in.
Were we just Mondays at that point?
At that point, it was Sundays.
I'm sorry, just Sundays. It was Mondays. She moved it because of Monday Night Football.
Getting off flights and going straight to the store with my luggage.
Right.
And putting it in the waitress station, washing my face, washing my hands, and going and doing 10 to 11. She dug me. She gave me the $25 door spot.
Sure.
From 8 to 10. And then
you did the door spot?
Fuck yeah. No,
I don't think I remember you on the door.
Nobody does.
How long did it last?
About a year and a half. It was like a thank you for hosting. Here's a little extra something for you.
Would you actually stand at the door?
I would stand at the door.
You would?
And bust people's balls. Let me see your ID. What was the date of your birth? What country were you born in?
In the front.
The back. I was the...
You were the OR back?
Yes.
Wow.
So at 10 o'clock, I relieved that to somebody. That post disappeared. I picked up a check for 25.
I like that you had your own thing going on.
Please.
The post.
I don't even know what that means.
And then I'd go host at 10:25. Now, again, I got the small 25 to host. Do you think...
You got less than that on the door, right? Or was it 25?
I got 25 on the door and 25 to host.
So it's 50. Yeah,
50,
yeah.
50. 50.
Oh, you mean cume together?
50, yeah. Cume.
Oh, see, you would get 25 to host.
I'd walk 50. I'd walk out of Sundays with $50. Okay. Now, so Joey didn't have it any easier. I said, let me throw an extra kick on this. Why am I up here arguing with these guys that are never going to get a spot?
Yeah.
Even if God wants them to, because Mitzi's going to scratch. Oh, no. These motherfuckers.
And even if you slept with Mitzi, it wasn't a guarantee to get a spot.
You could have pitched a tent out there and been number one since Sunday, fucking going, I'm going to be number one. That wasn't going to happen.
Oh, my God.
Because I would get on the phone and call Mooney, Eddie, and Joe Rogan. And go, I don't know if you know I'm hosting tonight. And you come out and try out all your new material.
It's my favorite.
And Andrew, come on down. Really? What time? Get there at 10 to fucking 10.
Surprised some open micers haven't killed you.
They don't know about it. So they'd be there going, yes. They would be calling their homes. The whole thing. Like, I'm getting on stage at the store. It was comics who weren't getting stage time that Mitzi looked at and said, you know what? I made a mistake. That's what it really was.
She
told me once. She goes, these are comics I made a mistake with, and I don't want them around here no more. And the only way to get rid of them is not to put them up on Sundays, because I don't want to give them a false hope. Unless I hear something spectacular from Scott at the time.
Scott Day, yeah.
She goes, I'm not playing games with these people.
But this
is when 1,000 people are trying to get to the store, dog.
Yeah, even more so than now.
Your wait list was 6 fucking months.
And if she saw you 6 months ago and she saw you again, you thought, oh, I'll just do the same shit. Fuck you. Bye. She remembered every word you said.
So when I did that, I would call Mooney, whatever, and I would all of a sudden I'd have Mooney and Dice up
there. Can you imagine every 3 minutes you have to change the comment?
Oh, when you got to walk up and down the stairs.
Trust me, I hosted for like cocaine. 3 years.
I'm on coke. I'm going to be walking up wasting coke. You know, I need this energy. So I would do four steps. Wait till you do that four steps.
I did it
3 years ago. They hated me.
I was there.
They hated me.
You redid it. Yeah,
I couldn't walk for 4 days after that. Those days are done with up and down. This ain't no tack fit class.
It really is the best way to grow, though. It is the best way to grow. Mitzi was nice enough to let me, when I first started doing stand-up, after being a waitress for so long, and she hated when a waitress turned comic. Let me tell you something. She fucking hated that because I watched it, too, and I would be like, ugh, and then they fucking get on stage in front of her, and she'd be like, get Red of them. And I'd be like, all right. So I had to fire plenty of waitresses who stunk on stage.
So.
It's so bad.
Sunday nights, I'd get off that stage and everybody would be depressed. Fuck. You know how long Andrew's going to do? He's going to do till one. So
Andrew's doing truth. Two more albums.
What's the truth? Go down the corner. Go. You're wasting all this energy to get back in
here. Yeah. She's not going to put you back.
You could have wrote an hour. You could have done so many things. And I understand the pain you had. But now, let's eliminate that. Let's take back.
But why not go where people fuck with you? Like, if the Comedy Store doesn't like you, go somewhere else. There's a million other fucking places. That's it. Never stay in one spot.
When it's time, you'll be here.
Yeah.
But right now, don't mess with it. Now, let's talk about the second part of this. In the video, I spoke about 23 years ago, what was going on up there for women. Now, Eleanor hasn't sucked a dick, to my knowledge, and I've known her for years. And if I would confront her, she would tell me to get stage time.
Oh.
Whitney Cummings didn't suck a dick. Ali Wong didn't suck a dick. You know, Eliza didn't suck a dick. I'm not saying they haven't sucked a dick somewhere in their personal lives.
You know how many people say to me, Whitney fucked everybody to get... Yeah. And I go, what are you talking about? I was right there in the trenches with her.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people will tell you out of jealousy. And it's a jealousy created by other women.
I agree. Okay?
It's a jealousy created by other women. When I got back to the store, like I said last week, before we even said this, there was a rumor going around that women weren't getting stage time. So when you see me looking at the list, I'm not looking at the list to see what time it is. I'm reading the list
counting.
To count. And I would count and go, I don't know what these women are talking about. So to lessen the burden, I started putting more women on my podcast. More women that nobody would know about. Just to lessen that, okay? That's great, Joey. You did that. You're a great guy. Fuck, you're going to be a saint. Let's not get away from the situation.
But you're the kind of person, you don't care about gender. You're funny is funny.
Funny is funny.
And that's it.
And I want to give a spotlight, the same spotlight people gave me.
Sure.
The way Rogan gave me a spotlight and Richard Jenny gave me a spotlight. You forget Andrew took me to Vegas.
Oh, no, I didn't.
These are all spotlights. You have to be very thankful of these.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let's talk about 97 to 2000. I had never seen more of a collection of crazier people in my life. And I tell you guys how it is. What came close? The Tenderloin in 85. When I lived there for that summer, came close to my first year at the store.
What's the Tenderloin?
San Francisco.
Oh.
My first year at the store was Peter Chen, the guy who they said I killed, that disappeared, the old man.
Gilbert, it'll come to me. Yeah, Gilbert Godfrey. He's alive.
You know,
Gaylord.
Peter, Gaylord Dingler hitting the guy with the car. And then there's a situation of women that went up there on Sunday nights. Now, again, I am not downplaying what I said on with Rogan. I'm not downplaying it. I just want to give you guys a back pedal. Okay? Nobody lied. Nobody exaggerated. It was just told in a quick way. And this is my witness right here. We just spoke about the original room for the last 30 minutes. I never even did sets in the belly room.
Nobody
That's
does.
That's just to show you.
I mean, I do. I time, love it. But at that time, that it was time, weird.
It was weird. Adam.
Adam Barnhart had Barnhart, a great, has a great show nights. On Sunday nights.
And that's it. Nobody else had a show up there. And sometimes well, we, I
it was
go up
Rachel Lovey. She Rachel used to have Lovey, three shows. But it was more, again, geared toward women. Like so, Rachel had great comp. So Marilyn
is,
did it.
This
Everybody.
Is just to prove to you people that when you tell a story, you get caught up in a story.
Sure.
There were different women that went up there on Sundays. We could mention names. I remember one in particular that had a pink convertible Mercedes. Do not say her name.
I'm never going to say her name, but and I know she exactly who you're talking
tits,
about.
But the guy, the old man she was living with was like 70.
Something like that.
And he would buy everything, her promo packages, dresses. But the tits he got, the doctor in Mexico forgot to move the vein under
the
fake tit.
I hate you.
And put the tit, the vein over the tit. And it looked so bad. But there was, ladies and gentlemen, and I have two daughters, I have 10 nieces, and I have 200 women that I'm dear friend with.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you in the eye, and I'm telling you to correct me if I'm lying to you. there was 6 or 7 women in those days that didn't want to do Whitney's work. They didn't want to do the work.
They didn't want to put the leg work in. Mm-mm.
They didn't want to put the leg work in. And they'd taunt you, and they'd say things to you, and they'd start with
guilt. They were looking for shortcuts.
They'd start with guilt.
Yeah.
Well, you have this, and I don't have this, and you're so lucky, and why can't you put me up in front of Mitzi and blah, 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 blah. And it never, you know, for me, it never understood. Nobody ever came out beside that girl and said, how about I trade your blowjob for stage time? And it was the weirdest thing because I had had a sexual relationship with her before. I had met her a year earlier, and we would hook up once a month on a weird situation. Once we actually hooked up in an apartment.
Yeah.
She came over and she goes.
But she partied too.
Yeah. She goes,
I got eight packages. Yeah. Okay.
And she goes, I want to.
And I'm not hating her for any of this,
no,
by the way.
Neither am I. Yeah. I love her with all my heart.
Like we joke about these girls make comedy better for a lot of people.
Yeah. So she said, I've got these 8 packages. I bought them from, and I want to do them. And I said, I have an 11:45 spot. And
it's a good
she goes,
spot.
No, but I have to go now. It's a Friday night. And I'm like, oof, that spot could wait. I'm a little burnt out on stand-up. I was opening up for Paul Rodriguez on Saturday and Sunday in Fresno and Bakersfield with Bob Baker? No.
Bakersfield?
No. The guy that ran Houston at the time was doing independent concerts.
Oh.
And I said, I never forget looking at her in the eye and going, I got an 11:45 spot. If I go home with you, I just want you to know we ain't fucking around. I'm going to put you to work. And she goes, what does that mean? And I go, we're going to do coke. So obviously somewhere along the night, we're going to want to fuck. It's going to get out of control.
It's going to get wild.
And she's like, well, okay, fine. She goes, I just don't give good enough head. And I'm like, already, I'm like, you
that's
know.
That's hysterical.
She goes, you have to teach me how to give head. You know?
Okay.
And I went over there. And
all right.
And she was a professional. You know what I'm saying? And we spent that night together. And there was a couple nights at the store.
Okay.
And then she was frustrated. She was,
and I get it.
She was frustrated. She was frustrated, not with me, because she was getting beat up everywhere. At that time, she was getting beat up at the Improv. She was getting beat up at open mics.
But you talk about clicky.
It was
comedy's
very
clicky.
Clicky. It was
it's very clicky. Hard to get in clicks.
It's still clicky. And she came to the store one night distraught. And I'm like, I got 2 lines of coke in me. I already went up on stage. You know, you came at the perfect time. What's going on? And she's like, it's not going to happen again between us. I have a boyfriend. And then she started saying that we don't even have sex. We lay next to each other, and my positive vibes go into his positive vibes, and we don't need to have sex. That's so yesterday.
Oh.
This is a new way of doing sex, and I have the best
spoken word in the bedroom.
I have the best orgasms in my life. And I'm listening to this shit going, all right, listen, what's the problem? And she's like, I just want somebody to see me. And I'm like, who would you want to see you? And she's like, I don't know, a management team. There used to be a payphone next to the woman's bathroom in the hallway when you walk down the stairs at the thing. And I remember looking at it going, so who do you want me to call? I don't know. It's 10:30 at night. Who would you want me to call? And she's like, I don't know. Who's the best manager? And I go, 3 Arts. And I went into my pocket. I got a quarter, and I put it in the payphone. And you could see me hanging up. And I just dialed 7 numbers. I'm like, 3 Arts, give me such and such.
And it's at night.
And it's at night. And she's looking at me like, she didn't see me hang up the phone.
I'm saying everybody do better, okay?
So
everybody.
I go to her. I go, listen, I'm standing here with whatever her name is. She wants you to see her. When's the next time you're doing a showcase? Tuesday at the store. I go, you available Tuesday at the store? Not by now. Any smart girl would say, give me the phone.
Fuck you. Let me talk to somebody.
No. She's like, well, I could do Tuesday at 8 here. And I go, Tuesday at 8, be at the store.
Bitch, you could do every day at 8.
And I just hung up the phone, took the quarter out from the bottom. I thought we all seen this. And next thing you know, we're in the belly room bathroom upstairs.
Which is a hot spot.
And I remember we had like sex and she had like dirty fingernails. And I'm like, I'm going to go home and take a good shower. And I didn't even have a good house at that time. I lived in a fucking car. So
that's the unrated, under-embellished.
That's the under-embellished, unrated.
Got it.
Sexual relations with her. Yeah, how many times? Maybe 20. How many other women that I did this to? None of them. But I will remember there was a meek Japanese girl.
Oh.
That came in for a while. Meek.
They usually are the Japanese. God bless them.
She just got out of a war. Like in her world, shit. She had the straw hat with the cup of rice, and she was coming out the store. She had grown up being a fan of Tamayo Atsuko.
Tamayo Atsuki.
So she's like, I want to be Tamayo. I want to be Tamayo. You know, tell me. And I was kind of nice to her.
Oh, my God.
I was very nice to her.
Yeah.
This is the shit that you don't tell people, that people need to know.
Yeah.
I was very kind to her. And after about 3 weeks, her dress started getting more and more Japanese-y, which means they started wearing less and less clothes. She started wearing monster boots. With hot pants.
Oh, less Japanese. I got it.
No
okay,
bra.
Yeah.
I see. T-shirt. Little bite-sized titties sticking out. And I'm seeing this shit.
Trial
and,
size.
Just to let you know that, you know, there's a good side and a bad side to Joey Diaz. This is one girl that actually pretty much came to me in Japanese and said to me, in other words, you know, I do, you know, whatever stays time. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And, I said, you know what? Tonight I'm full. Like, I'm okay tonight. Like, I'm coked up. It's not going to work tonight. And I'll never forget, though. Like, a month later, they were running a train behind the stage and the bar by her at, like, 11 o'clock. And the male bartender was like, what am I going to do? She went back there with both of them. For stage time. You know, I saw situations like that. There was a girl that would come down every Sunday with a wig on. One of the prettiest girls you've ever seen in your life. And I caught on to her after like a month. I go, weren't you a redhead a month ago? Yeah, well, I just like to switch wigs. Then I would stand in the front. Remember, I was a doorman. So I would stand in the front sometimes. And she always got out of black cars. Those in fucking 1998.
Yeah.
Those black
cars
that's
were
expensive.
Yeah. That was a big deal. If somebody pulls up in a limo now, you laugh at them. You're like, yeah, whatever.
But no, not the limos, but just
but
the
I know
cars,
what you mean, like the town, cars. The town cars. Yeah, the sedans.
And one that I asked, I go, what are you doing? She goes, you wouldn't understand. And I remember her like pulling me aside going, I really want to be a stand-up comedy, but nobody will help me. Listen, when you tell a seasoned comedian, and again, if you want to write for Rolling Stone or whatever you want to take with this podcast, remember one thing. When a woman comes to you in comedy and says, I don't know what to do and I need help, 7 out of 10 comics, what do they say to you? I got you covered.
Yeah.
Don't worry about none. Let's go back to my apartment.
And 9 out of 10 of them are full of shit.
And 9 out of 10 of them are full of shit. And then when they realize they don't sleep with you, they're not your friend, they don't talk to you.
Yeah.
I always tried to talk to those women. You know, you grow in comedy and you see the weaknesses. And like I told you guys last week, one night, Lee and I were coming back from Pasadena and we started talking about my triple shit.
Oh, the triple runs. I've never done that.
What I saw on the triple runs.
People, it's crazy stories, yeah.
And I remember I got off out of the car with him and my body was shivering because it was just crazy. Like the shit that, you know, finger in this one. There was a fucking Air Force base.
But it's like, whatever. There's a comedy show called The Degenerates of Comedy. You did it. Why do they call, like, did any of the comics get offended? You called us degenerate. We are. For the most part, we are. We're fucking animals on the road. I mean, I can't say that about women all the time because, like, we're on the road a little bit more nervous than a male comic. Of course, 10 times over.
And it's still a bar.
It's a bar. It's a nightclub.
That's all it is.
They're partying.
It still doesn't matter. It doesn't excuse what I did next week. And it's not going to excuse what's about to happen in the next couple of weeks. Because they made a lot of calls.
And you know what? I didn't get one fucking call. You know why?
No, no, no.
Because I wouldn't push a negative narrative. No. And that's what they want.
They want anything
negative.
They want anything negative. You know, I would love, I wish people address it, you know, in the right way. I haven't remembered, you know, I had to look back and go, well, I think of a couple situations, one which I spoke of the podcast. I'm not going to tell the name to give you ammunition. I spoke of a person I had a problem with when I first met her. We were doing a couple lines of coke, and I told her she had nice titties. And she played it off like, you know, nobody's ever told me this before. You're a pig, really? Well, this
I love shock. I love shock.
This is what I know about you.
Yeah.
And then a couple weeks later, I go to a party, and I see her with somebody, and it's like, you were trying to play fucking Virgin Mary, and you got busted. I'm not afraid of.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, everybody right now feels like they're all in shock. Like, oh, my God, this happens at nightclubs? Oh, my God. What does? Comics talk dirty? Comics embellish? Fuck you.
Emails that would make you fucking...
I will be... Listen, I will be... Not one person has called me about anything from the Comedy Store. And I've been there from...
They're not calling anybody who matters.
Well, but here's the thing. I've been there from... I don't have any credits like that.
Everybody who... I mean, I've heard in these articles and these interviews that Adam's name has come up.
And I don't know why. This is crazy.
Adam Engel's name has come up, who's the sweetest guy in the world.
Adam, R. Adam?
R. Adam. His
what
name
did you call him?
Adam Engel. I don't fucking know.
Adam
name.
Egit.
Egit, whatever it's
eBay. Name. Just call him eBay.
I don't know how many people's names have come up that I've said, what are you talking about? Why is his name?
Because here's the thing. Like, back in the day, girls would come up to me and be like, how do I get spots? How do I get spots? How do I get a showcase? How do I get whatever it was? Like, whether they were passed and not getting spots or whether they were trying to get passed, right? Because both happen. When you can get passed, like Mitzi said, she would be like, ugh, fuck, I made a mistake on that after I saw him. And she'd stop giving them spots. One person, one guy, got really pissed off and went to Mitzi and was like, why am I not getting spots? And she goes, okay, I'll have you re-showcase. And then she unpassed that motherfucker for making her sit through that. And it was the only person I ever saw her do that to, but it made me laugh. So I would immediately tell people, don't talk to Mitzi if you've been passed. Here's little tricks you can do. Like, and it was something as simple as send Scott some tequila or wine. Yeah. I would tell people all the time, send cigarette, whatever it was that the talent coordinator could casually bring your name up in front of Mitzi and spark her memory, whether it's good or bad, it'll work. And it did. So then people would say, how can I get spots? Should I fuck this guy? This guy told me if I blow him that he'll help me. And I go, who would help you if you blow? No, he's going to come and forget you. And I go, if you want to know who to fuck to get into the club, if it's not Mitzi Shore, you're doing it wrong. Because she's the only one that can put you on stage. Up until she got real, real sick and Tommy started. There was one time when me and Corey... 1 week where Mitzi was real sick in the late 90s, and she went to get stem cell injections. I think Bob Wheeler took her, and she was, you know, it was her first like bout with this bullshit, her sickness. And so she asked us to do the lineup, and Corey and I were devastated, nervous wreck. We didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We love everybody. So we copied Mitzi's format. That was 1 week. We still weren't in charge of anything, really. We just copied Mitzi's format. And then we joke about this all the time, or at least Rick and I do on the Comedy Store podcast, how when she came back and started doing it, she literally would just go to A's. So it would be like Aaron Cater, Ahmed Ahmed, like whoever was fucking A's got on the lineup. Because she was getting, her health was declining. So then Duncan left, Tommy got in there. And then once he saw that she was really, really declining and he started doing the lineup, he would then, unfortunately, fuck with people. And, you know, well, you know, if you do this, you know, he had his own narrative. And his favorites were Whitney and Chris D'Elia. And Mitzi didn't pass them. Tommy did, technically. Like, whatever. And because he saw these are going to be the future or whatever. He saw something in them. And he was passionate. And he was a dick to a lot of people. He was. But he was the talent coordinator. And technically, she gave him the reins to do that. And the only other person that had that was Adam, because he was thrown into it. But Adam showcases people. He doesn't give sexual fucking favors for getting stage time. And he doesn't not give you stage time if you didn't give him or don't like him. Because I've had people come up to me and be like, he doesn't like me. He doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't like your stand-up. You're taking it personal. Like, he asked you out and you said no. And now you think that's why you're not getting sick. You're not funny. You need to fucking reevaluate. Or you could be funny, but just maybe he doesn't think you're funny enough for the lineups he's putting together. And if you're fucking hurt by that, fuck you. I'm sorry. Would you go to every casting director and be like, how did I not get in this movie? I'm perfect for it. And then just be like, well, it's because I was supposed to go out with him, or I was supposed to go out with her, and now they're holding a grudge. That's not how it works. I don't know. I'm rattling, but I'm pissed. That's
no,
why.
No, you're absolutely right.
Because I'm pissed. You're changing the narrative. First of all, what is going on with Chris D'Elia? I'm thrilled these girls spoke up, right? And if he did something bad, that will fucking come out. It will happen. You will get your justice. But don't change it and take away from something that needs to be dealt with for real because you didn't get fucking spots at the Comedy Store. Stop it. And not one person has come to me and said, no, that's not true because you know that. Because they know I know the real truth. I watched it. Even with Adam, I've been doing stand-up for 13 years. Adam took over probably, what, 6 years ago? 7 years ago? Six-ish? Seven? Yeah. So, and he was thrown into it reluctantly. He did not want to do this. He did not want that job. Nobody wants that fucking job. Nobody wants the job of telling you're good enough to get on this lineup or you're not, man or woman. And the other thing is with the women, they're trying to fucking, men and women are all the same, where there is no gender. But then when there's a fucking problem, all of a sudden there's a gender, right? All of a sudden these are males are monsters and they're trying to hurt women. And not all males are assholes. I have six brothers. I would say some of them are assholes. Some of them aren't, you know, whatever. I'm flipping out because I just don't know what.
I'm just happy that you were there in 97 to 2000. You witnessed me. You witnessed me at my lowest points on drugs.
Yeah. And to say I fucked my way in, I've heard that one too because I slept with Dice. That's my second ex-fiance. Yeah. I wasn't even doing stand up when I was with Dice. And when I started doing stand up, respectfully, because he was the higher up technically, not because he's male, just because he's fucking Andrew Dice Clay and he started at the Comedy Store. So when I started doing it, I called him and I called Mitzi because I have respect for them and I didn't want them to think, oh, I'm fucking crazy. I'm going to go there because I'm Dice's ex and I'm going to fuck with him and stay at the store. Or, you know, I'm an ex-waitress and I want to fucking piss off Mitzi by doing stand-up. I didn't do it for the wrong reasons. I called them to say, hey, I'm going to try this. Is this okay if I come to the store? I asked permission and Mitzi let me. She told me to do the belly room and I did. And then she showcased. I showcased three times for Mitzi. It took me 3 years to get past. And I was her personal assistant. I did everything. I went out of the country with Mitzi. Like, we were tight. So, and with Andrew, he took me on the road and I got booed off the stage and he put me in the fucking back burner for a year. And then I had a re-showcase for him. So don't tell me I didn't do the fucking legwork and that I fucked my way into a Comedy Store paid regular. Because I'll beat the shit out of you. One, two, I worked my ass off for it. Everything I got. And there's a lot of women that they talk like that about. And one of them is Whitney Cummings that came. Somebody said it to me and I thought, fuck you, man. We were in the same show.
She said something to me.
I wake up and I say, what would Whitney do? That's how I fucking think. Whether you like her stand up or not. Do I think Whitney's the funniest person on the planet? No, but I think she's fucking brilliant.
And she puts her time in.
And she puts her fucking time in and busts her goddamn ass. She was sleeping with regular fucking guys like the rest of us. Nobody special. I can think of three different guys that she was dating. They were regular fucking guys. They didn't have any power. She was just smarter than you and you don't fucking like it.
She said something to me that made sense for you, Eliza.
Eliza, Allie too. Wong. Eliza's fucking great. Allie Wong. She said, Leslie Jones? Who the fuck did Leslie fuck? Jones. Leslie's phenomenal.
She said, when you come to this town and you go to the Comedy Store, you have two decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You can either suck dick or put your ponytail under the hat and become one of the guys.
Yeah.
And you've done that. You're one of the guys.
I've tucked my dick.
You know why? Because you had nine brothers. And you know exactly how they talk. They scratch their balls.
Sure.
They sniff their fingers. They're
monsters.
Disgusting.
But I love
them.
They
would tell you right in front of them how they fucked the neighbor in the ass in the bathroom. She was half retarded.
Fuck if I said it.
Yeah. And you laughed a little bit. But that was what, you know, that they said coerced. There was no need to coerce nobody.
Nobody coerced. These girls were willing. God bless them.
I mean, and there was many others, and I've heard many other stories. And like I said, I'm not here with this podcast. Now the next step is where this goes. Where does this go?
If it goes any further, it's dumb. I got to be honest.
It's going to go further. It's going to go further.
Well, they're going to pick apart every person. Oh, anybody that's ever laughed at Richard Pryor should be executed then.
Yeah,
he grew up in a whorehouse.
It's going to go further.
And that's how he saw women.
It's going to go further. And at least for me, it is. They made some calls. They called Seattle to see why I left Seattle. You know,
oh, were they worried you have a fucking past? You're pretty open about it.
Oh, I am. They're going after clubs for certain reasons for not doing. I heard this in an email. Stricter background checks in the comics to make sure they're not sexual predators. Like now they have us. They have.
Oh my god! How the fuck are we going to prevent that?
I'm about the Wednesday, I celebrate 20 years with my girlfriend. When you saw us, at
Terry, my girlfriend. It's your wife, fucker.
My wife.
In my head, I was
but
like...
But we've been together 20 years.
Wow.
You know? So you got to remember, when I started dating Terry, I was still snorting coke. But I was at the store, and I couldn't really do nothing, because now she'd know it. She was right there watching me.
Yeah.
So for you motherfuckers that want to say something...
And Terry don't fuck around.
Terry don't fuck around. Terry was there. If I worked 5 nights... Terry worked
she
five
nights.
She will
fuck you up, Jack.
If
that's
I
my girl. That's why
nights,
I love Terry. Like
Terry worked 5 nights. I need a little national anthem real quick today, because there's something we got to talk about. People are having do's and nots and dots. We got to do some national anthem. I don't know. Any dates coming up?
No, you fuckers. They canceled everything. No, not till when is it? Shit, August 6th. I'm at Phoenix at the House of Comedy. August,
you.
But that's okay. Not till August. Okay. My July date got canceled in Vancouver.
You tweet
so.
It and we'll retweet it.
I love it. Thank you so much.
And no, I'm happy to have you on today because I want to.
Sorry if
understand.
I went off a little bit.
No,
I'm just, I
you
get
were there.
Off. Okay.
You were there. My wife was there. So
well,
I want to see
Terry.
What the fuck they're going to come up with? Because I got 1,000 stories that are just
I got a
so
million.
Raw that,
call
listen,
me.
Whatever story you want to come up with, there's got to be a back end to it. About 6 months ago, I get home way before COVID, November.
Okay.
And some girl who lost, you know who it is. She's a cute blonde girl. She was married to an owner of a comedy club. And I always considered her a dear friend. I saw her at the HaHa when I was trying to make a comeback. And I wasn't going to the store. And one night I go on Twitter on a Saturday. It's got to be 11:30. And I read her tweet, which says, Joey once went into a bathroom in the back of a bus while I was in the bathroom. And I thought about it for a second, and I go, holy shit, that's right. In 98, we were doing a Roger Paul gig.
Oh,
I went
wow.
To the back of the bus, and I didn't have to go to the bathroom. And when she found out I had a package, she asked me if I wanted to do a package. So I usually do a package in the bathroom. So I go, you didn't mention we were doing a package. You're just going to
all of a sudden. That's why we're only going to put out half the story.
Yeah, half the
everything's half
story.
The fucking story.
So I was like, fuck, you know, fuck this shit. And I wrote to have a package. So I know that, you know, whatever.
They're trying to leave it out to make
but
them look
again,
good.
We got 20 years right here. I got 20 years who I've been with at the house. My wife was a waitress at the store.
And she can attest to.
You motherfuckers want to raise your hand.
Come on with it, bitches.
There was a friend of ours who recently died, a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
His wife became a saint all of a sudden. She doesn't know
she's trash.
She spit in the grave before
she also got smacked around at the store.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She got smacked around a couple places. So for her to raise.
Yeah, but for me,
that's this time.
But this is the thing with Terry. Terry was there when we were all. Just so you know, the cesspool, the comedy world is, nightclub becomes when you're there all the time. There was a part where we had a herpes outbreak because we were all fucking each other. And I wasn't really in that part, but I was in that. And we all had to go get tested for herpes.
And I don't want this to reflect on the store or any other place.
No. I'm saying every nightclub has this.
This is a bar, yes.
Are we going to close every nightclub?
Love. There was a lot of love there. There still is a lot of love there. You know, I feel bad for D'Elia and all this when we have to go back.
But these stories we're talking about
change. Oh yeah, we'll be back to
weeks. They won't happen any. They don't happen as much as they used to because people don't realize
the cameras at the store. You just can't get
Mitzi
your dick
was
sucked
sick.
At the store
she wasn't
now.
There. She wasn't watching.
You get dicked up. You get your suck dicked at the store now. You pop up on somebody's Zoom while they're talking to the grandmother, the final steps, a la Laurie Kilmartin.
God bless
She's
her, Laurie. Phenomenal.
Dying of COVID, and there you are, getting your dick sucked in the bathroom in the main room, squirting in some girl's eyeball, and her telling you, is there a napkin back here? And you're like, nah, not really. It's a linen. They got light bulbs, though. You want a light bulb to wipe your eyeball with? Any dates? So you got June, August?
July. I mean, July got canceled. I'm sorry. I'm at the House of Comedy in August. I believe it's August 6th, 7th, and 8th. I don't know.
Let's keep your motherfucking prayers open. We got July 21st at Oxnard. That's where they'll start. And then hopefully July 29th through August 1st in Brea, if the COVID disappears.
Please.
If you motherfuckers don't start marching against something else next week. You know, Martian Lives Matter. Let's do that one. Because a Martian got fucking run over in New Mexico. How about fucking anything?
Don't
anything.
Joke about that, Joey.
Don't joke about that,
I heard you're being insensitive to Martians.
I know. Fuck them, too. All they've ever done is fucking create people to go crazy. I saw a Martian. Him and Bigfoot. Fuck them both. And don't forget, like I told you at the beginning of every show. Every fucking show. CBD Lion. Swelling, inflammation, insomnia, anxiety. These are some of the things it could help you with. No cure, help you with. And if it helps you and you stay consistent, who knows where it goes. Go to CBD Lion right now. Bath balls, e-pens with no acetine, fucking the oil, the cream to rub on. As a moisturizer, that's how I got my hamstring to go down. They've got gummy bears, three different flavors. They've got fucking tape now. Cutting edge tape that you wrap around the injury. Again, are you going to fucking throw the crutches in the air and start dancing the tarantella? No. But it's going to relieve pain. It's going to give you some soreness. It's going to, you don't have to take a fucking pill like a jerk off. You could smoke a joint, do a little CBD. Last night I went to sleep like a baby. What was the last time we spoke last night? You know, you remember.
Like 11 o'clock?
Yeah, 2 nights ago. 11 o'clock on Saturday. You don't remember dick because I took the CBD, a couple gummies, the raspberries, and just sent me a new
bottle. Why don't I remember? Is that strong that I don't remember?
I gave you 300 milligrams of shit you didn't need the other stuff for. And I love you with all my heart. I appreciate the video. I appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Balls.
Thank
I
you for people watching. Yeah.
Because these motherfuckers obviously don't know. And number two, let me explain something to you. Hit me with the national anthem.
Should I stand?
What is that? That's the one from fucking...
The one we had years ago is not here anymore.
Oh, you got to find the good one because...
I feel like I have to stand. I got nervous.
I don't
want to
find no flutes.
My daddy's
like
a
that.
Marine.
It's got an American flag on it. That's the one. Real quick. Lower that. So I can talk over this. Get up, you fucks. It's Monday, the 30th, whatever the fuck it is, of June. Enough is enough already. For 3 months, we've been living in fucking misery, confusion. We're broke. We're hungry. We want fucking answers. Stop blaming China. Stop it. Stay in your house. Move out of that fucking apartment. But most importantly, social distance. And most importantly, beside that, this is a crucial fucking situation. And some of you are not happy. Put your fucking mask on, you fucking maggot motherfuckers. Let me tell you something. You think I like putting a fucking mask on? I don't like putting a mask on. I gotta smell my own breath. 50 years of rotten teeth and assholes and caniglous fucking breath and fucking nose hairs. I don't want smelling the fucking breath either. But you have to do it. Why? Because we're trying to keep each other alive. How can we be so fucking selfish? You know what? You want to go to the bar? Go fuck yourself. Go to the liquor store. Buy a bottle like every other American. And go outside and get 3 or 4 of your friends and get fucked up. No more fucking parties. No more get-togethers. I don't want to see no black chicks twinking with your ass up and down. Twinkin'. They told you you can't eat ass. And here you are spreading those asshole germs up in the air. I feel bad for midgets, you fucking filthy fucking animals. So do me one favor, whether you agree or disagree. When you're home, when you're scratching your balls, listen, I wouldn't put a mask on either. I farted and I could smell the fart through the fucking mask. So if I could fart and smell it through the mask outside at the park, that means you could maybe get a little coronavirus. No, you can't get the coronavirus. What I'm telling you is, it's a public fucking nuisance now. Pretty soon, people are going to start getting hit in the head with fucking karate elbows and shit. Keep your mask on. 4th of July is coming. Do you want to be fucking caught up in the 4th of July? Where's the music?
I'm tired over.
Where's the music? We'll start it again. Where's the music? We're Americans. We got to fucking join in now. And enough is enough. Put on your fucking mask. It's not self-respect. It's not respect for us. It's starting to be respect for ourselves. I wear a mask. Put it on more. I want to hear more. I'm getting fired up here. Don't make me fucking get a bottle rocket and cut it in half and make it chase different ethnic fucking groups. You understand me? Get that mask. Put it on. Shut your fucking mouth. You fucking little animals in Miami. You fucking jungle Spanish people down there. You should wear a mask since day one. When I came from Cuba, they put a mask and goggles on me. That's how contagious I was, all right? So go fuck yourself. Don't let me break out the goggles. You fucking immigrant fucks. You're lucky you're here. Put on a fucking mask. It's a fucking right. And everybody else, you fucking white people that think you're better than everybody because you pay taxes and you fucking drive a Prius. So what? Go fuck yourself. Put on your mask. Black people, they're trying to kill us. Put on your mask. If it ain't a fucking cop, it's a bullet. Now it's some Chinese doing a laboratory trying to kill you. And Mexicans, first of all, if 3 is over 200 pounds, I don't want to see it together. Every time I see 7 fat Mexicans, COVID is coming. It took out a family down in Orange County. If you're 7 or 8 Mexicans and you're heavy, knock it off. Invite 3 skinny cousins who just got here and ran the 3 miles. No more than 4 fat Mexicans can get together. And that's Cubans, Salvadoranians, you Puerto Ricans too. You're not excluded. You're half black and you're half Spanish. You guys, they're rolling the dice down there in Puerto Rico. Put your fucking mask on. Social distance. And have a little fucking respect. You see a line? Fuck 6 feet, 10 feet. Put on your mask. I don't enjoy it either. Look at me. I look like I just got out for fucking sucking 300 dicks. This is what you look like when they throw you out. What happened to him? They ran a train through him last night at the gay bar with 300 dicks. I don't like wearing a mask. Does it say in the American Constitution? No. But right now, as Americans, what's going on? And the numbers in Florida, Texas, Arizona, and California. Wear your fucking mask. It's Monday. Go out there and be a fucking champion. the church and what's happening now. Thanks you. I want to thank Eleanor Kerrigan. I want to thank fucking Lee Leland. And I want to thank you guys for all the support of what's going on in each other's lives. You need comedy? I got the fucking answer. You understand me? But it all starts with the mask. I don't give a fuck. You're going to hate me for this. But as part of the church, us, we got to be Marines in this shit. We put on our mask. Have a great week. Have a great Monday. God bless you. Kick this motherfucking Muley. Get this fucking mask off me.